Welcome to Rein It In. This is Matt.
And I'm Rachel. So this is a podcast about two married nerds traveling around. We're literally traveling around right now as we are on a train.
Ooh, train.
In between Denver and Glenwood Springs in our own little private roomette on an Amtrak. So we can come to you without neighborly interruptions.
Yeah. And it's worth saying, I don't know, are we going to talk more about this train trip?
Yeah, we'll talk about, we'll give you some more details about the Amtrak Colorado ride as we get further in.
Yeah, but we're going to talk more about just sort of train trips we've been in the past, things we like about trains.
Yeah, why to travel on a train.
Yeah, some of our favorites.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, why do you like trains?
Yeah, that's a good question. I should have a better answer to this since we've talked about this a little bit in the pre-script. But I think a lot of my like of trains ultimately actually comes from your interest in trains. And I think some of that is because of your not driving.
Yeah.
And that you've always embraced public transit and made me more open to public transit.
Yeah, I don't drive. I have a driver's license. I got it 8 years ago. I've driven once since I got it.
Thank you, Becky.
Exactly. And yeah, I don't like driving, and I don't, in many ways, I don't like being in cars. And so, like, even as a passenger, I'm not a huge fan of it. So, like, being in a train for me is much, like, less stressful than being in a car.
Yeah, and I'll say, because one of the things I do like about it is because I am the one who drives, it's sometimes nice to be able to go more distance without having to be exhausted after things. So we've done some train trips inside the U.S. That have been kind of convenient. And then when we travel, and I think we'll talk about, you'll introduce us a little bit more, right? But sort of the idea, we're going to talk a little bit about kind of like public transit versus also
experiential.
Well, but also just trains, right? So like distance trains as opposed to like local kind of things, because I think that's another aspect. But yeah, for whatever reason, over the last few years, heading into the pandemic, ultimately, I think is when I really became like kind of an unexpected train nerd. So I watch probably multiple hours, well, maybe about an hour to 2 hours. Well, all right. So of train YouTubes a week.
Yeah.
It's sort of like my, I don't watch a lot of TV except when we watch it in the evening, but my morning routine and my lunch routine when Rachel's not around is I watch some cooking shows, and I watch, I mean, mostly it's, I watch The Sorted Guys.
Right.
And then I watch Jago Hazard, and I watch Tim Traveler. Tim Traveler does more than just trains, but a lot of his stuff is still train.
Yeah.
Focused.
A lot of it's transit kind of
based.
Yeah.
And then there's this great thing, Local Lines or Japan Hour. It's called a few different things, which is like where they have two B-list celebrities in Japan travel around on local train lines, and they make a tour guide. Like, you should check out Local Lines, or it's like Journey of Discovery or something like that is the subtitle. But so started watching that. And then when we were in London in 2019, we were in Japan in 2019. Both of those, I think, really solidified it because it was so nice and easy to get around.
Yeah, exactly.
So what about you besides the, like, just not driving?
Besides the not driving, I mean, like, so my grandfather worked for the railroad for his entire career. He worked for Grand Trunk Railroad, which was, like, Chicago, sort of Canada kind of area railway. And so, like, growing up, like, anytime there was a special train that came to town, we would go and see it, right? My mom and my stepfather bet at a haunted depot, in the train depot in Laramie, Wyoming.
Haunted depot?
Haunted depot.
What is this?
You don't know the haunted depot?
No.
Oh, anyway.
It's not a Scooby-Doo episode?
No, it was like so the USDA, like agricultural research people put on a haunted house at this train depot.
I never put it together that it was at the depot.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a haunted depot. So
right.
My mom was the person who, like, scarily gestured you in.
And peeled grapes.
Well, right, and my stepfather was the mad scientist, so he had, like a, you know, beaker full of eyeballs and stuff. I think they were real eyeballs, maybe. I mean, not human eyeballs, but like cow eyeballs.
What? No, that's gross. That's gotta be unsanitary. Well,
I mean, it was the USDA. It was like Abadrill. They were like cow scientists. Well,
but you didn't put your hand in a jar full of...
No. They were just bubbling around there.
Oh, okay. We'll have to ask your mom about
that. There were also chocolate spiders, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they had met at work before, but like they...
Yeah.
I think they got to know each other a little bit better while doing the Haunted Depot. We'll see. Maybe my mom's listening to this episode and she'll be like, that's not what happened at all.
I know. I'll have to ask. Yeah.
Anyway. But like I have this, you know, sort of family connection to railroads and railway, which is, you know, what I like about it. And so, you know, as we were putting together this episode, we were sort of thinking about like, you know, how to talk about it. Right. And so, like Matt said, there's the distinction that we're kind of making in between public transit related trains, which is a little bit about functionality, right? Getting from point A to B, and then the like sort of form or pleasure of train riding, which yeah. is basically what we're doing right now, right? We can get to the Western Slope in Colorado by driving
6 to 7 hours and waiting in traffic and
pretty, but like
yeah.
cheaper than the train that we're currently yeah. on. And maybe more efficiently, renting depending, because a lot of the time Amtrak is late, although yeah. today it was not.
Yeah.
But we would rather be sitting here watching the beautiful scenery go by.
Yeah.
Than...
The aspens are looking better out here, outside Granby, than...
Yeah. Aspens, Colorado's had a rough few years for trees, so... Decade? Yeah.
I think that's the earth.
Sorry. The world's having trouble.
Not news.
Hey, but trains.
I know.
Better for climate change than a million people driving their own cars.
Well, especially if you start talking about a lot of the trains are electrified right. in the cities, mm-hmm. right? So form function, right? I do think there's still some form, right? Or some functionality aspects of taking trains, right?
Oh,
we
yeah.
did go like 1,400 miles around Japan in 2019 on train. You can check out those episodes. We talk about that a bunch in early in our season one.
Yep, season one.
And but we also did some things that we did just for the joy of the trains. We'll talk about that in the second half today.
Yeah. I mean, they're merged. I mean, it's not like they're totally separate,
right?
But yeah. like, you know, but we wanted to talk a little bit about like, you know, kind of probably the place where people are most likely to ride a train, which is really from the airport to a town.
I mean, it's the one we use all the time. We live in Atlanta, and MARTA is our mass transit there. It's buses and trains. We generally don't take the buses just because, and we don't necessarily need to as much.
Yeah.
But we can take the train from our front door. We've got like a 6-block walk and it drops you off in the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta airport there.
Yep.
And we can generally get from our front door to our gate in an hour.
Yeah.
Which is really convenient. One of the things I like about it is the reliability. Mm-hmm. Like, MARTA is occasionally late. We did have two trains break down on the way to Colorado once when we were taking MARTA there.
True, but that's the only time we've had a problem. We've taken that train a
that
lot.
That bad, right, yeah. But we still made it in time. But you know, driving in Atlanta is a big, big question mark.
Yeah, that's true. You never know... And also, I mean, you know, we've never had to pay for parking at the airport. We've only ever had to pay, you know, $5 essentially round trip. Sometimes if it's very early in the morning, like when we left for this trip, we left at 5 a.m. I don't love being out that early. You know, we took a car on whatever day that was. Friday, yeah. Saturday.
A
day.
Yeah. Now, I mean, one of the things, we do have the privilege of being able to live in the city. We've chosen to do that, mm-hmm. Partially because you don't drive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and also I don't love driving. So, I do like driving sometimes, but I don't like to have to be driving, and I don't like to be sitting in traffic.
Don't like to rely on it as like, oh, I have to sit here in this traffic to get to or from work.
Right. And when I worked from the office, I would take the train every day. And so we lived near a train line. Rachel can walk to campus, but we can still get around really easy with that. And so, but just last week, I had a business trip to Boston, and I did take a car in the morning, cause same thing, I had to leave for the airport at like 5 a.m. because I had an early morning flight. But I took the Boston T from the airport to my hotel, mm-hmm. and I was maybe 35 minutes or something like that, and I was like to take the airport bus to the train and then get on the train and just took mm-hmm. that a couple lines. I think some people took cars that I, because it was a work thing, on the day I arrived, everything was cool, but I heard it took someone 2 hours to get from the airport because the tunnel was closed because of some problems. So, again, you come back to traffic can be a problem.
Yep.
You have plenty of things. Trains are generally, even if they're running a little bit late, there's not cars in the way, right?
Right.
Which is why I do think trains have benefits over soft rail buses, right? Because buses are just stuck in the same traffic.
For sure.
And you get less people parking and idling and doing all that sort of stuff.
There was a Bigfoot cutout back
there. Oh,
that's
funny.
Yeah. And we actually, like, when we lived in Colorado, Denver International Airport did not have any public transit
right.
coming to and from it. And now it does. You can actually get from the airport downtown really easily. Like, the light rail that they put in Denver is pretty effective, you know, in terms of when I've taken it. Now, I haven't had to take it everywhere, but, like, I've taken it from Aurora, you know, downtown, and I've taken it from the airport downtown. And that's so nice, because DIA, if you have not been there, A, it's a big Illuminati conspiracy. Kidding. But also, B, it's a... way out on the plains. It's really, it's not conveniently located. So you have to, I mean, we used to, like, when you had to drive, it was a long drive even from Denver.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like every time anyone's picked us up from Denver,
that's a nightmare.
It's just a disaster. There's not enough space. There's too many cars coming in.
In fact, so if you fly into Denver, I would recommend just taking the light rail to the nearest the nearest stop and having someone pick you up there.
Yeah.
Because last time my parents picked us up from DIA, they had to wait in traffic for like an hour to get like into the pickup area.
Yeah.
And then you're just, anyway, I would just recommend.
Just a mess.
Just walk out down to the light rail station.
Yeah.
Say, like, what's the first stop? Meet me at this station.
Right.
And everyone will be much happier.
Now, I won't say that Atlanta and Denver are the best public transit systems I've ever been on, but they're very convenient if you're on those parts of the line. Oh, hey, we're on the train.
Fires Canyon. This is a beautiful little canyon shared by not only the Colorado River and the railroad, but also U.S. Highway 40.
You may not be able to hear this.
A lot of times people who are driving that highway will stop and watch our beautiful train as we weave our way through here with the sun glinting off as it does today. Truly a fun sight for train fans. So they'll stop their cars right there in the highway and take a picture. Conversely, I've never once stopped the train so we can put in somebody's car.
All right, so this is a bummer. It was probably way too quiet.
It was
for you
probably
to hear
too
that,
quiet,
so.
But it was funny. We'll cut this out if you absolutely can't hear it. But the announcer on this train is pretty funny. He's got all kinds of snarky asides.
Uh-huh. So this was about we're through a canyon here where a lot of cars will stop and take pictures, and he was saying that he has never stopped the train to
take
pictures
a picture
of
a car.
But we might have some other. We'll probably talk over because I think it'll be too quiet.
Yeah.
Don't bother. But
anyway,
what are some cities that you think are some that have done public transit? Awesome.
Well, we were just in Amsterdam, and I may have talked about this in one of those episodes, but I do think the public transit in Amsterdam is super effective.
Yeah.
I never had difficulty getting anywhere that I wanted to go, really. There was one museum that was a little bit longer ride than we wanted to take, so we ended up getting a car that morning, but, like, things always came quickly. I will say, though, those doors close quick.
Yeah.
I couldn't get out the door one time.
I'm trying to scan the card on the way out. And yeah, that was, you got to be on top of it.
Yeah.
That one's pretty good.
Dilly-dallying.
Yeah. We mentioned London. New York also fantastic, but I've only ridden the New York public transit
just
a couple times.
Yeah. I haven't taken advantage of it as much. Certainly, I think a bunch of people are afraid of it right now. You know, and people always like associate public transit and crime, but like, it's really... I mean, it's still safer than driving. You're much less likely to die. And, you know, I mean, we've ridden so many different public transit options so many different times and not ever, you know, been robbed or anything.
Although we did have our bags rifled through in Rome. That was like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I used to take MARTA every day to work, well, 5 days a week, four or 5 days a week, there were a couple times where there were some arguments or something like that, but for the most, like, I never felt unsafe. I mean, but it also depends on what you're...
And my reason for not wanting to take it super early in the morning isn't actually to do with MARTA at all. It's to do with our neighborhood.
Yeah, walking through the city in the morning. So, also, but you probably heard, if you're listening to a train podcast, you know, if you're just listening because this is us and we talk about random things, but the public transportation in Tokyo is unbelievable. Cue the EMF.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good. And everything is really accessible in English. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you don't speak English or Japanese, it's probably a little bit harder, but probably because you're listening to this, I imagine you speak English.
Yeah.
So it's no trouble to get around. And yeah, just...
It's a pleasure.
It is. Too. Yeah. It's so easy. I mean, there are a couple different rail companies. Sometimes you have to have different passes, right? Your JR pass is only going to work on some of the lines, but you know, and that sounds actually much more complicated than it actually is.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Japan is I think the, and also like in terms of, again, like sort of associations that people have with like public transit, like the idea that the trains in Japan are like, you're smashed on there and there are people shoving you in. Like
if you take it a rush hour, it might be that way, but we've never,
we've
just avoided those
happen.
Times.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
And even if we were traveling near rush hour times, it wasn't a problem. So like, don't let those videos like freak you out and think like, oh my gosh, it's going to be insane sardines. And
right. But you know, I would say too, any city you're going to, make sure you do a little bit of research on their public transit. There are always awesome. Hey, we're back to YouTube and trains. I've been watching. We're going to be going to Prague over Christmas and Budapest. And I've been watching some things about their public transit to make sure we can figure out how to get around. And there's some cool tips. Like, I think it's Prague. It's either Prague or Budapest. Need to look it up. But one of them, if you're over 65, it's free.
It's free. Yeah, I think that's Prague.
Yeah. And so you just need to make sure you have your ID, your passport. Yeah. And... like, also check, a lot of times, you can get awesome deals with multi-days. If you're going to be in a city for a few days, it's going to be dramatically cheaper to buy a 1 or 3 or 5 day pass than it is to buy five rides.
Although, in Amsterdam, that wasn't necessarily true.
No,
it seemed like, because Amsterdam is based on length of journey, and it's not like a flat price per trip, it tended to be more economical to just... pay by the trip. But like, you know, one of the other cities that I was thinking of that I liked riding public transit in was Barcelona, and some places, you know, city pass, or one of the like sort of tourist passes will include transit. San Francisco's used to, I don't know if it still does. It's been like decades since we did that.
But it's also an awesome way to just get into a bunch of random museums you would never go to.
Oh my gosh.
I just cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. The City Pass in Barcelona was amazing. We went to so many random things that we never would have done. And we got to all of them for free.
I know, right.
Included.
Sagrada Familia was not part of the thing, but well worth going to.
Yeah.
My favorite part was we went to a museum solely so we could go to the bathroom.
Yep.
And it turned out to be an awesome museum, too.
We were also the only people in that museum.
Yeah.
I think it was primarily kind of a museum where grade school kids go on tours, and it was the weekend. So it definitely was like, you know, Northern Spain Heritage Museum or whatever. Uh-huh. I mean, it was like very specific, but it was like, I need a clean bathroom and some air conditioning for a few.
Right.
I can get in here for free.
We were walking back from the Miro, which is well worth
visiting. Yeah, that's definitely worth going
really
to.
Nice.
Before we get too distracted by Barcelona, though. So, I mean, so the appreciation of functionality of all of these trains, right? Renting a car in any number of these cities would have been terrible.
Oh, I don't want to park at any. I don't even want to park in Atlanta.
So, I mean, obviously New York City. But beyond that, like, I mean, like, renting cars overseas, I think, and driving overseas seems more complicated than we've ever really wanted to deal with.
Yeah.
Hotel parking is insanely expensive.
Right.
Airbnb parking is a series of question marks, right? Mm-hmm. Public transit is the way to go, honestly, if you're traveling to a city. Now, some of the time we don't make it to things that are outside of cities because we are reliant on public transit. So, you know, there's a balance there. So if what you really want to see is rural,
right?
In Japan, that's not going to be a problem.
Visit some rural jurors. Japan still has some areas that I watch some YouTubers, Japan YouTubers, that are like, There's just not real any good public transit out to these areas, so you want to rent a car. However, I will say, so Rachel doesn't drive, we talked about. I don't mind driving, but I don't drive in foreign countries because I don't really want to deal with the hassle and it's extra cost.
We might if we get a Volvo.
I know.
But
right. Yeah, we'll do more.
A few years down the line and...
Well, we're talking about going to Iceland at some point. We'll definitely rent a car to do the ring road.
Right.
But, you know, just do your research. A lot of times you can do stuff, right, to wrap up some of the functionality aspect of transit. You know, going to the Netherlands, you can get almost everywhere between all the cities fantastically. You know, it costs a little bit of money. It might overall cost more, but you're not parking. You don't have the headaches. You can, you know, have a drink or two and not worry about it.
Yeah, that's true. You never have to, worry about drunk driving.
Right. And we did so much of Japan.
Drink driving.
So much of Japan on trains because the trains just go everywhere and they go constantly.
Yeah. You hardly ever have to wait. I mean, for this train that we're on right now, it comes once a day. And, you know, sometimes it's very, very late. Oh, there's like a bunch of horseback riders.
Oh, yeah.
the joys of train travel.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be very, very late. The problem with the Amtrak in the U.S. is that it shares the same lines with freighters. And if a freight train breaks down, Amtrak's also screwed.
Right. It just doesn't have the access and the ridership and the funding. And
although this train is, I believe, 100% full today. I don't think there are extra seats. I think I heard the guy.
Interesting.
So this is a very popular route. We're in like a roomette. Not every one of these is sold.
Yeah.
Oh, horses.
Oh, wow.
But I think all of the regular seats are sold out.
Right. Yeah. All right. So what do you say? We wrap up this section. We'll take a quick break.
Yeah. And we'll come back and we'll talk about why we're taking this train through the mountains and what other gorgeous trains we've taken.
Yeah. All right. All right. So as we've said, we're on the California Zephyr today. And, you know, as you've heard in the first half, we've had a couple of sides where we're like, ooh, horses, ooh, you know, whatever. And because we're looking out the window. Yeah, and Bigfoot. And the conductor on this one, I don't know if they always are as good about telling us about stuff. This guy's been...
Sometimes they actually have national parks people, though, on that do stuff. So this is the train ride that I've taken the most times because it takes you from, you know, the main city in Colorado, Denver, to near where my parents live, which is, you know, a six-hour drive ideally, but can be much worse depending on traffic.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've never had the pleasure of driving I-70 in Colorado, it is gorgeous. It's a little bit treacherous because the inclines are a little bit dicey and the traffic, though, has only gotten worse in our entire lives.
It can be awful. And actually, we just, like, we passed through Winter Park not too long ago, and now there is a express ski train to Winter Park right to the slopes, which is super smart.
Yeah, because you see the slopes. You can.
Yeah.
You could basically jump a fence and get on the chairlift to Winter Park from there.
Yeah. He said it's like a 50-foot walk to the chairlift.
Oh, wow.
So that is amazingly smart. And it just happens to work out with Amtrak. But, like, I wish they would do it more places, you know, because most of the traffic that's terrible is, you know, recreation traffic. People come up to the mountains for the weekend.
Right.
Anytime I have friends that are coming to see me, I'm like... You know, coming up next weekend to both of my friends that are coming, I was like, go back on Monday. Like, if you try to go back on Sunday, you're just going to be in traffic and you're going to be miserable.
Right. Yeah. And then, so the other thing you can't see here while we're on the podcast recording is, you know, it's 11 o'clock and we are maybe drinking a little bit of wine. Mm-hmm. And right before we started podcasting, we had some cheese and crackers. Sort of like looking out the window or chatting.
Llamas.
Wild llamas. It's just a more pleasant thing than, like, white-knuckling it around turns and, like, in traffic. And
a lot of this is, like, I-70 doesn't go this route, so you don't ever see this stuff. And there is one canyon where there aren't any roads. As far as I know, it's only the train or rafting that will let you see it.
Right. Oh, yeah, if you like to see butts.
Oh, yeah, there's a mooning spot where everybody moons you.
Yeah, and more in the summertime when people are tubing.
Yeah.
But
it's nice. It gives you a different... I mean, so even if you have driven that mountain ride in Colorado a bunch of times, if you want to take that same route and see different things that you haven't seen before, this is the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and just... It's just gorgeous. Uh-huh. I don't know. And then what are some of the other ones? You mentioned when we went to New Orleans.
Right. So our other kind of Amtrak experience, longer train. I've taken Amtrak all the way to California once as a kid. You know, Matt and I took it once to Philadelphia, but that was overnight, so really we didn't see very much. But there's quite a nice train from Atlanta to New Orleans. It's good because it leaves in the morning and it gets you there in the evening. So you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. When you get there, you can, you know, hop off and get your dinner and find your hotel. Because Amtrak, again, like sometimes, you know, I mean, I got dropped off at like 3 o'clock in the morning in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which was like a little bit weird, right? But the Atlanta New Orleans route drops you off at a good time and comes back at a good time too.
And you're also not needing to worry about parking your car anywhere.
In New Orleans or flying.
Yeah.
A lot of people fly to New Orleans, but by the time you do the airport and the airport and all of that, it tends to be, it's a little bit shorter,
The train to New Orleans is a little bit long, but we had a great time.
It is very...
Took some naps, played some games.
Yeah, it's very relaxing. And it's, again, you get to see a lot of the South. And the first time that the only time that we've done it is right after we moved to Atlanta. Yeah. So it was cool. Like, I'd never been to Alabama before. I'd never been to, you know, Mississippi. So you get to see a lot of that as well. Mm-hmm. And it's cheap. That's the other, I mean, the train in general is going to be vastly cheaper than flying.
Right now, but I will say...
And depending on gas prices, sometimes cheaper than driving.
Yeah. If you haven't traveled Amtrak and you do live in a city where you can take Amtrak, mm-hmm. You definitely want to buy those tickets as early as absolutely possible.
Yeah, because they have a schedule where, unlike planes, where the prices just fluctuate based on, like, I don't know, how the wind's blowing or whatever, Amtrak has, like, set dates, like, this far out, it'll be this much, this far out, the price will go up this much, et cetera, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know what the exact dates are, but...
Right. If you buy it at the last minute,
it'll be more expensive than if you bought it 6 months ago.
Yeah, but it might be more expensive than a plane, depending on the line and what you're doing. But if you buy it like 6 months in advance, it might be relatively dirt cheap.
Yeah. For sure. So, I mean, Amtrak's got all kinds of like complications and problems. It's not like riding a high speed rail in, you know, Spain or in Japan or wherever. Yeah. But, like, I think if you're willing to just sort of be like, you know what, got a little bit of time, want to enjoy myself.
Yeah, make the journey part of the experience and the trip.
I guess that is one of the things that we like about it too, right? And I suppose if you're a person who really likes to drive, you also get that, right? I just don't happen to be to be that person. Or if you're a person who really likes to fly, but I don't think anyone loves commercial air travel. They're not like, oh my God, I can't wait to get on a plane. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to get to my destination, but I'm never like, ooh, commercial flying.
It's because we're not flying the lay down seats on Emirates or anything like that. But yeah, all the same. So we're talking about not the functionality, right? These are the things you're choosing to spend extra time on a train because you want to take part in that experience.
Because it's enjoyable in some distinct way.
Yeah.
And some trains specifically, like, do this, right? Like, mm-hmm. that is their goal.
Right.
Which is partially Japan's joyful trains.
Yeah, yeah. And so before we jump into joyful trains, because I think we got a couple things we want to talk about from Japan. Mm-hmm. We mentioned this on a previous podcast. Also, if you've made it this far and you listened to our last episode, we promised we were going to put something on May 1st. That obviously didn't happen.
It didn't, but Matt did put out, like, a couple of cooking videos on the YouTube channel.
Oh,
so,
right, yeah.
We did put out content. We just didn't put out a podcast. So you can go to our YouTube channel. It's Rein It In, Matt and Rachel also. See some natto and okonomiyaki videos.
Yeah, see if you like Japanese food.
This one's coming out June 1st. And we will put out another one July 1st.
All right, we'll see, because we have a couple things queued up. It's just we've had so many things going on with family travel and work travel and obligations. But we mentioned this in the previous one about Netherlands, is that we talked a little bit about this train on that. I don't want to talk too much about it this time, too, but I stayed an extra 2 weeks in the Netherlands between a family trip and a work trip. Mm-hmm. And I ended up taking a weekend to Wuppertal, Germany, stayed in Dusseldorf and then like took the train out there. I basically, this is again because I'm a train nerd now. I also had to admit I'm a train nerd when I got my National Historic Railroad Society magazine in the mail the other day. But you know, I took a 4-hour train ride solely to ride a train.
Yep. Train to the train.
But this is a special train. If you check it out on YouTube, actually you can check it out on the Rain It In Matt and Rachel podcast as well. I took a little time-lapse video at night of me riding the Wuppertal Schwebebahn.
Bald eagle.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah. Hanging out on the top of a
telephone
pole.
Yeah.
The
with a nest.
But yeah, I think it's Schwebebahn. I don't know exactly how you say it, but just look up Suspended Monorail Germany. There's some awesome YouTube channels on it. I mentioned the Tim Traveler. There's also a Tom Scott. I think Tom Scott had one on it. Anyway, but it is awesome. They built a train that is a suspended monorail over a river and over like some city streets. I did train tourism. I took the train there and then I spent an entire day just riding the train back and forth and going to museums in the area. So much fun.
Having trouble finding food.
Yeah, I had a little bit of trouble finding food. But yeah, it was fun just to like look out the window and see how happy everyone was that was on the train. Because it was a lot of people. It's also their mass transit for this city that's in this valley. But
Skinny Valley.
But you could tell there were a number of us that were there to ride the train because we would get on the train and we'd all pull out our phones and be recording out the window. It's an awesome story. It's worth checking out. So, I think we talk a little bit more about it in our Netherlands video, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm happy to talk more about it at length. But I wanted to get into back into Japan because Japan is really, I would say, the highlight of my train traveling overall. Right, the cities were fantastic, and we just covered.
Can
so
I stop
much
you and
country.
Say your highlight wasn't when you asked me to marry you on a train?
Oh shit! You're right. I didn't ask you to marry me.
I accepted
your proposal because you had asked me a year or so earlier, and I said I wasn't ready yet.
Yep.
So thank you for the patience.
Yep.
19 years later.
Yeah, today's our anniversary, actually. Yeah. We've been married 19 years.
So, yeah, it was about, like 21 years ago and a few months that we got?
No, 20.
20 years ago?
Yeah, 20 years ago and a few months.
But, yeah, we did. I forgot that. We took a train from... I mean, I didn't forget. But.
Right. We took an overnight train from Paris to Florence because we were visiting a friend in Florence. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, and also just to go to Florence. But yeah, we.
Yeah.
That's where we got engaged.
I might have fallen asleep and then woke up and was like, oh, yes. And Rachel's like, what are you talking about?
We'd had a busy day. You know.
Yeah. It was also an overnight train, so it was in the middle of the night and.
We're rocking back and forth, you know, as you do on a train. Except for right now, because we stopped inexplicably.
Yeah, we did just stop. We're probably letting a freight go by or something.
Or some cows.
What, other than the marriage acceptance, what's your other thing you remember about that train trip, the Paris to Florence, that stands out?
Well, I don't know. When we were first traveling in Europe, like, we did kind of the things that you think you're supposed to do, which is, like, one of them is buy a Eurorail pass. Mm. I don't think it's always very economical. I don't... Particularly for the... We weren't going to that many places. So I'm not sure. Well, I think the JR pass was very worth it when we were in Japan, although
yeah,
I realize
changed
it's changed
prices,
it.
So that's TBD at this point. So.
Yeah, but... And of course, this was 20 years ago, so I don't know. But I think it would be, I think it's worth carefully pricing out, like, where can I do maybe single travel tickets or overnight trains like I did, or where can I do, like, discount carriers like Ryanair? Because sometimes you can get super...
Yeah, sometimes taking the internal flights is better, even though we like trains.
Right, yeah. I mean, sometimes it does make more sense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we could have gotten from Stockholm to Amsterdam, I'm sure, on a train, but it was like a, you know, 2-hour flight.
Right.
It was like...
But we did go Gothenburg to Stockholm, and it was a nice train.
Yeah, that was very nice. I mean, internal trains in Spain are great. Like, I don't think I would take an internal flight in Spain because the trains there are, you know, high speed. So you're going 250 kilometers an hour. Yeah. But I think just assuming that a rail pass is your best and most economic bet is not always the case.
Yeah, right. The thing that I remember about that train, other than that we had a mix-up about our sleeper car.
Right.
And almost had another woman in the car with us. She was not excited about having a guy in the car. But anyways, that all worked out. But unrelated to me waking up to accept a proposal, we also woke up at one point and it was like snowing real heavily and it was dark and we were in like, I think Switzerland.
Yeah.
And it was just the darkest dark that could dark be, except you could see this little town or city that was on the top of a mountain. And so you just saw this like glowing halo of light, like 100 feet above the train tracks. It was really
somehow
cool.
We haven't been to Switzerland. But yeah, I mean, like that again, I mean, not just because we got a gauge, that was a good experience, but I think, you know, in the future I might like think about pricing things out. Yeah. Although, you know, as we talked about in our Japan episode, and we can get back to Japan trains, from this, I dropped my wallet on, the platform and we missed our train because of that. But because we had the pass, it didn't cost us any money to miss it. Yeah. We could just get on the next one.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
if you're like clumsy and careless, like I sometimes am, you know, maybe a pass is a great idea.
Right.
Unless you drop that pass too.
Which you did.
Which I did.
Yeah. But Japan is a wonderful place.
But they turn things in to the lost and found in Japan.
Yeah. But yeah, so to wrap up probably, the highlight of our train journeys together, I think, has been Japan.
Yeah.
And that we did 22 days and over 1,400 miles through the like north half of Japan from Tokyo up the Sea of Japan, up into Hokkaido and then back down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic. But we designed the whole trip around trains.
Yeah, we did. And it was amazing. We took high speed trains. We took regular trains. We took very, very tiny local lines.
Yeah.
We took subways. We took any kind of train you can imagine. We actually took a bus too. I was very proud of us. We did every form of plane, train, and automobile that you could pretty much do.
Right.
Because we flew one flight. We took taxis a couple times.
Yeah.
We took one bus.
The if you fly in Japan, we did fly back. No, we flew from Aomori to Sapporo, and we probably would have taken the train.
I probably would in the future. Like, I was like, oh, I would like it to be a little bit quicker, but it didn't actually end up being that much quicker because we got to the airport like
a U.S. early
American style, and then we just sat there for hours, which we didn't need to do.
No, it was so hot in the airport too.
It really was, and there was nothing to do. So
they apologized like 5 times because the plane was 2 minutes late.
Yeah. So in that case, I think I would have taken, given the option, to do that again, I would take the train. I will say, like, internal flights in Japan, if you are an American, are less expensive.
Right, yeah.
So as we're planning a trip to go back to Japan next time, we are thinking about doing an internal flight.
But a longer one.
A longer one, you know, from Tokyo to south, and then kind of working our way back north on the train, as opposed to doing both. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's pretty economical to do ANA. But you have to put in your American passport number and stuff.
Mm-hmm, right. So one of my favorite things about, I mean, you always hear about the bullet trains, the high-speed trains in Japan, and they are fast, and they're incredibly on time. We saw more than a couple people show up at the platform, like, 4 seconds after the train was supposed to take off, and doors were closed, and we were moving. So, like, you absolutely want to be early. But if you have a JR pass, maybe not a big deal, because if you miss it, they also, things drive so frequently.
Yeah, things run really frequently.
But they have this thing called joyful trains, and I don't know if there's fewer of them. I was having trouble when I was looking it up recently. They used to have them throughout the whole country, pretty much.
I wonder if some things are still on hold because of COVID or haven't come back.
Or maybe they're just not being organized the same way, because there's still, like, JR East has joyful trains if you go there. Maybe they're called something else. I don't know, but they're basically trains that often go a little bit slower. They're definitely not the bullet trains.
No.
But you're riding these trains for the experience of being on the train. And a lot of locals take them because they're fun. But Japan does this interesting thing to keep their smaller lines profitable, or at least from going under. They double them up a little bit. And so they take some trains and they make them fun and interesting with, like, fun paint colors or themes.
Yeah, like, and I think there is definitely a Hello Kitty one somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, they just, like, give people a reason...
To take the train,
yeah. Right.
And the one that stands out, especially, was we took it from Akita to Aomori. And there's a faster train that goes between those. But we took one that was, like, an extra hour and a half, 2 hours long. But it traveled the entire coast. And yeah. So you just saw this.
You saw the ocean. And yeah.
Yeah. It was really funny, right? We had the one stop where... 40 people got on the train?
A bunch of retirees, yeah. Specifically. Just like, there was like a bus full of retired Japanese people who got on the train just to ride, I think, two stops. Around the most beautiful curve, seeing the ocean. Uh-huh. And then they all got off and got back on the bus, and the bus took them back to their community center or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, speaking of just like making the journey the whole purpose, right? Uh-huh. Like, they weren't taking that to get anywhere.
No,
just
right.
Just to. Yeah. Ride the train.
And see that view. Mm-hmm. There were so many people pressed up against the window taking pictures, myself included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was lovely. So, we took a couple, like, scenic-based trains while we were there. And then, you know, fast trains, local lines.
What was your favorite one in Japan, though?
I mean, my favorite one was the little Studio Ghibli train that we took. It was not Studio Ghibli 3 themed. It just reminded me.
There probably is at least one of those somewhere, sure. But it was just...
Like, if you've seen one of their movies, like, a tiny, I think it was sort of a sky blue color, two-car train.
Yeah. It felt like it was probably from the 50s or 60s.
Trundling through the, like, rice paddies and, like, rural Japan in between two relatively rural cities. It was freaking adorable.
Yeah.
Still easy to take if you didn't know Japanese.
Yeah.
We got to a town where really no one spoke English.
Right. And there was nobody at the train station either. There was just like an honor system to get on the train there. like literally a box with a slot in the top and you just put money into it.
Yeah. It was a very intensely small train. And it was great. It was really, really, mm-hmm. It's really cute.
Yeah. It had old school windows. Like, I remember my school bus having in the 80s that you could like crack them from the top down, and it just kind of rattled along. Yeah. It was like the definition of twee, I think. But
so we have never done like a super fancy train trip. I know we would both like to, but you know, the thing about super fancy train trips is they have the appropriate price tag to go along with them.
Yeah.
I mean, they exist all kinds of places, right? There's some through the Canadian Rockies. There's some in northern Spain. There are some in Japan. There's obviously the Orient Express, which is the most famous.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're interested in luxury train travel, there are options all over the world for
South
that
America
as well.
Has an awesome one.
Oh, really?
These days, yeah. I've watched a couple YouTubers on that one. It just looks gorgeous. You go to... It's not Lake Titicaca. Maybe it is. It's something like that. But
I think that's in Mexico.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, it's not. It's not that. I forget what it has. Something like that. But you go. You cross it like, I don't know, 1,300 or 1,400 feet above sea level.
1,000.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's 13,000 or 14,000 feet above sea level.
And I wonder if they have
the highest
oxygen
train in the world.
I wonder if they have oxygen on the trains. I just remember reading. Another reason that I like trains, Paul Theroux, if you have never read his travel writing, he has a bunch of books where he rides trains around places.
Yeah.
So writing The Great Iron Rooster is one of them, which is all taking all the train lines in China. It's from the 80s, right? Like, they're not designed to be travel guides. They're a snapshot of a place and a time. But his one where he goes through South America, there was someone that just had balloons and oxygen. You could just buy a balloon of oxygen.
Oh, interesting.
For while it was at its highest points.
It wasn't a dead show with nitrous oxide?
No, it was not.
Anyways, we should wrap up.
We should.
Thank you for following us on our journey, our train journey, of telling these things. If you have train rides that you've taken, countries you've taken the train
that you particularly like.
I
or hate, I
failed
suppose.
To take a train in India. All my coworkers were like, you don't want to do that. It's going to just be complicated and crowded, and I kind of regret it.
I took an overnight train at once. At one point in Australia.
Oh, right.
And I had my own car.
Wow.
My parents had their own car, which I'm sure was...
Car or room?
Room. Yeah, like, you know, I had my own, like, you know, little pod.
Yeah.
As in my parents. I'm sure they were excited for the privacy. Actually, as was I. But it was really interesting because all the airlines happened to be on strike. And so we had just booked these tickets because we wanted to have the experience of riding the train.
Yeah.
And we would have been screwed had we not, because airline strike.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, let us know about your favorite train journeys. Let us know where we should go next on a train. Mm-hmm. What special lines, if it's worth it to hang a fancy train.
Yeah, if anybody's like taken a fancy train, yeah. I'd love to know about it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yep. We will be back July 1st.
All right.
I'll make another promise. We'll give you some Colorado updates. probably.
All right.
So, yeah. But thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Rein It In, Matt and Rachel. You can check us out on Instagram at reinitin_podcast or Facebook at Rein It In Podcast. We encourage you to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app, or you can listen direct at anchor.fm/reinitin. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.